Welcome to my Father's House podcast, episode 75, Just Be Quiet. Pastor Harley Coulterman and others delivered this message in the Practical Strategies for Victorious Living series on Mother's Day, May 12th, 2019.
I wanted to read from Isaiah 54, because throughout my lifetime, I think it was shortly after Christina was born, God gave me Isaiah 54. And even though it physically applies to Israel and to Jerusalem, as children of God, it also applies to us. And so I want to read a few verses from that he gave me as promises as I was raising my children to stand on, blessings from him through me to them. So the first five verses say, sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. And I want to speak to you women who never had children, because even if you didn't have children, you still, God is, as a child of God, as a daughter of God, he leads people across your path as your spiritual children. And so it says, sing, burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. Why? Verse 3 says, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. I'm so grateful he told me to enlarge my tents. Because I have grandchildren that are doing just that. They are possessing the nations. I can see it. Praise God. Verse 4 says, do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. And I think as mothers, sometimes things that come against us, as godly mothers, the enemy trying to put us to shame for standing up and standing for righteousness, standing for declaring that our children are saved, that they are serving God. Even if we see things that aren't going the right way, God wants us to know that his word is true. And as we continue to stand firm in his word, we don't have to fear shame. No matter what other people say, he says, do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth, no matter what our own past has been like. When we come to God as children of his, that's in the past. And remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. Then we go to verse 10. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. And I don't know how many times as a mother, I only had three children, and I look at my daughter-in-law and I think, seven, praise God. Covenant of peace. His covenant of peace is with you. And I use that often with just my three children. What does that say about Jeremiah? Thank you, Lord, for your covenant of peace. And God has compassion on you. Afflicted city, lashed by storms and not comforted. And I don't know, as a mother, sometimes you feel like everything is coming against you. You feel ugly. You feel harassed. You feel like so much, just like a fragment. But this is what God says. I will rebuild you with stones of turquoise. In other words, he has beauty for us and precious stones that aren't going to be hurt or damaged. He wants us to know how lovely he sees mothers, whether they're physical or spiritual. Your foundations with lapis lazuli. I will make your battlements of rubies, your gates of sparkling jewels, and all your walls of precious stones. And then his promise, all your children will be taught of the Lord, and great will be their peace. In righteousness you will be established. Tyranny will be far from you. You will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. Wonderful, wonderful promise to stand on. And then finally, one of my favorite verses, verse 17. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. All those lying thoughts that come against you, that the enemy tries to plant in your mind of not doing well, of, you know, you're just not worthy, of not being a good mother, of all of that the enemy comes against a mother with. Those kind of thoughts, they're like words coming against your mind. We refute. It's our heritage. It says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Praise God. His promises are sure. His word is true. It lasts forever. It never changes. And his heart is with you, spiritual and physical mothers. He loves you so much. Praise God. Okay.
Oh. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Happy Mother's Day to the mothers. And thanks, Pastor Karen, for sharing those words of encouragement and exhortation. All of us, whether we're male or female, can take some things home from that passage from Isaiah. Really an awesome thing. Because God does want to enlarge us. He does want to strengthen us. He wants to encourage us, not just to stop, but to grow, to keep on going, and to keep on fighting the good fight of faith, because that's a fight we win. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So we want to take just a couple of minutes and pray over the newest little Coulterman. Where it was a confirmation to some things God was speaking to them. But I'll let you be the judge of that. I want to talk to you this morning about, well, the title of my message is Just Be Quiet. But, you know, if you just walk outside this door, there's noise because, you know, we're pretty close to I-69, Interstate 69. You walk out the door and there's noise. I mean, there's quite a lot of noise, and depending on which way the wind is from, it can be pretty annoying sometimes because, you know, you want to go in the backyard and have some peace, but there's noise. So, and I'm sure it's that way, you know, anywhere in the city, you know, it's noisy and so forth and so on. So if you live in the country away from things, you don't notice that kind of thing so much until you come into this environment. So there's that kind of noise. But all around us, there's noise. I mean, you can go into a store, there's noise, there's music, sometimes music you don't appreciate. There are restaurants, sometimes you would like to converse with the person across the table. If you're not texting across the table, you'd want to converse. But anyway, sometimes you can't even hear them because it's just like this noise is going on. So we have noise all around us, but there's not only that kind of noise in our lives. Sometimes we're the ones who are making the noise. But Psalm chapter 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes the noise just overwhelms the voice of God in a person's life. And if you don't find a place or a way to be still, to be quiet, to just be quiet, you're not going to hear his voice. And if you or I become the cause of the noise, sometimes it's even worse in shutting out his voice because, you know, we're shouting and he's saying, just calm down a bit, be quiet. There are lots of examples of this in the Bible. You know, I'm sure you know many of these stories about, like, for instance, Elijah. You know how he was disappointed, disillusioned because of the situation in his nation, and he was running away from Queen Jezebel after he had a great victory, over the heathen gods in the nation. And he went to a cave, and God went by, or actually there was like a big wind thing went by the cave, and God wasn't in it. There was an earthquake, and God wasn't in that either. And then there was a big fire, and God wasn't in that either. And then it says, and there was a still, small voice. What that means is that in the aftermath of all this, you know, noise and stuff that was going on outside that cave, in the aftermath of that, there was quiet, there was calm, and there was the still voice of God. There are other places in Scripture where people found a place of quiet where they could hear the voice of God. We know that Jesus, for instance, he went into the solitude to spend time with his Father. Now, if you think about it for a minute, if Jesus had to do that in order to get enough quiet, in order to hear the voice of his Father, and he was the Son of God, and he was the Messiah, and he is the one who ever lives to intercede for us, if he had to do that when he was here on this earth, how much more will we have to make some kind of effort to just be quiet and hear the voice of God? So the rest of that psalm says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." There's a story about Jesus when he told a parable. There's a parable that he told in the New Testament also that says something about how we should use our voice in terms of making our relationship with God so that we get answers to prayer. This is the story about the woman and the unjust judge. So don't make a judgment on the story before I finish. It says that a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God and had no respect for them. Then there was a desperate widow who in that city, she kept coming to him and saying, "Give me justice and legal protection from my adversary." For a time, he would not. But later he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow continues to bother me, I will give her justice and legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will be an intolerable annoyance, and she will wear me out." So then it says, "Then the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says.'" So he's saying, don't just take the story at face value, but listen to what he says. And then he says, "And will not our just God defend and avenge his elect, his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay in providing justice on their behalf? I tell you, he will defend and avenge them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find this kind of persistent faith on the earth?" So the story about the woman was not so much about that she was wearing the judge out, but that she had a persistent kind of faith, and her voice was heard on high by God. Her voice was heard by God, and he answered her. I mean, this judge answered her. And the point is that if we have persistent faith, God's going to hear our prayer. And he's already sent the answers, so you can receive what you've been praying, what you believe in him for. But it does take a persistent kind of faith. So there's wrong ways to use your voice, and there's right ways to use your voice. This woman found a key to getting victory. And the way she got victory was she was persistent, and she kept in the face of the judge. But then he turns this around and says, you know, if somebody that's evil and somebody that doesn't fear God would do this just because someone's persistent, how much more will God honor the faith of a person who comes to him? So it isn't like you have to get into God's face and twist his arm and make him do stuff. But if you have that kind of persistent faith on the inside of you, it touches something in heaven that releases the presence of God, releases the power of God, releases the answer takes out the roadblocks to the answer coming to you. Because the reality is not that God isn't sending something to you. The reality is that sometimes things block you receiving the answer. And if you've had some kind of long-standing thing, whether it's a sickness or whether it's a relationship issue or whether it's some kind of thing where you need to make a decision and it just seems like nothing is happening, there's undoubtedly some kind of a roadblock. Something is stopping this. It's not that God's holding things back from you or not hearing you or any of those kind of things. It's just that your persistent faith has to knock down the walls of everything that's blocking this answer from coming to you. And I believe that's what Jesus is trying to tell to his disciples here. So in this parable, he's talking about the woman who would not shut up. So while I'm saying, there's times that you should just be quiet, there's also a time to use your voice. Amen. So we're not saying be quiet, just let things run over you and just be quiet. We're saying be selective and choose how you use your voice so that you can walk with God and so that you live a victorious life. The theme for this series of messages is practical strategies for victorious living. So that's really what we're getting at today. Praise the Lord. So we hope that you can take home with you some strategies that help you and bless you. Praise God. So she refused to stop declaring, "Give me justice and protection from my adversary." So Jesus is talking about that kind of faith that refuses to stop declaring his word. So when you've got an adversary and you've got an adversarial situation, you need to speak the word of God to that thing. Jesus said to his disciples one time, he said, whoever it was, speak to the mountain and tell it to be removed, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says shall come to pass, he will have whatever he says. It doesn't say he'll have whatever he wants. It says he will have whatever he says. So sometimes we want something good to happen, but we're not saying that. We're saying, we're cursing all the problems and all the other things, but we're forgetting just to speak the solution, to speak the word of God, to speak the answer into that situation. But, I know our emotions get involved and we get wrapped up in the situation and, we just let it all hang out, and that's not a good thing. That's the time to be quiet. It's the time to be quiet, to reflect, to step back and say, what should I be saying? What should I be speaking to this mountain? Instead of speaking to God about our problems, we ought to speak to our problems about our God and tell them how they ought to behave, because we serve a living God, a big God, a God who cares and a God who loves us. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. So Jesus is talking about that kind of faith, the kind that refuses to stop saying what God says. The unjust judge gave this woman what she demanded because of her words. And even though he gave her great resistance, because of her words, she got exactly what she wanted, an answer, a solution to her problem. Praise the Lord. So let's use that kind of faith. So let's take a look at a couple of scriptures and just kind of put all this in perspective, and then we'll break into small groups and just have a chat about a couple of these scriptures, and then we'll come back and do the wrap-up. Praise the Lord. So there's a scripture from Proverbs chapter 29. It says, I'll read it from a couple of versions. It says, "A fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it till afterwards." A fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it in till afterwards. Another version, I think this is New Living, says, "Fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back." So one of the issues that we have as humans, as people, is that oftentimes we just feel like we need to vent. And if you work in any kind of a workplace, in or outside of the city, you probably have been around some folks who really know how to vent. And Then if you should happen to go onto Facebook or onto some of the social media, you know, then you can find some more of same. Or if you turn on the radio and you hear the commentary, you know, the talk shows, the television shows, all of that, people are venting their anger. And the Bible says, the Bible calls that category of people fools. If you can't say amen, just say, oh me, you know. A fool utters all of his mind. In other words, you know, it just lets it all hang out, speaks everything, whatever. But there's several different applications to this word. One of the things that you and I need to learn as believers is that if we want to be faithful servants in the kingdom of God, we need to learn how to keep our mouths shut. Because many times we haven't really mastered this skill. You know, whether it's in the family, in marriages, in relationships with others, or in the workplace, you have to know how to hold your tongue, how to keep your words in perspective of God's faithfulness and His design and His desire and His purpose for your life. So when we're angry or when we're retaliating, things get out of hand, and that's why God is calling this kind of language foolish, and the perpetrators of the language fools. So if we don't want to be fools, then we need to be the opposite of fools, which would be wise people who speak wise words that are calculated and that are appropriate for the situation. You know, I had a friend that when we first got saved, he came from pretty rough background and sometimes had pretty rough language. So in the workplace, there was always a little tension because people knew that now he became one of those, you know, one of those radicals, one of those religious people. You know, they called them religious people back in those days. And he had a little problem with his tongue. So in our morning prayer time, he was always talking to us, maybe I should just cut it out. Well, you know, the Bible says, you know, if you have an offending member, you should just get rid of it, because it's better to go to heaven without the offending member than to, you know, keep on doing what you're doing. So he was always threatening to get the knife and cut it out. So, but after some coaching and so forth, he began to learn that, you know, you actually can control your tongue. And when these other people are using all their other colorful languages and so forth and so on and praising their God, you can actually praise your God too. So he learned that if he began to praise and worship God in the middle of this workplace environment where they were cursing and carrying on and calling him this and that and the other thing, and he was praising God and saying hallelujah and blessing the name of Jesus, that pretty soon everything became quiet in the workplace. But he learned a secret. He learned that when you bring the presence of God into a situation, even if it's adverse, and you bring His name into that place, you can bring peace and you can bring quiet into that situation. So don't make the mistake of just letting it all hang out. Instead, learn to keep quiet. Just be quiet. Reflect on the moment and then begin to bring appropriate words. And another place that this especially applies is in the area of spiritual insight. Sometimes, you know, God will show you things, and our tendency is when God gives us revelation, we want to just tell everybody. But, you know, if you just tell everybody what your latest revelation is, pretty soon you'll get to the place where God can't trust you with any revelations because you just tell everybody. And it's particularly true if you're ministering to somebody or God shows you something in somebody's life where you need to minister or pray for them, and then you tell others about it and so forth and so on, and then it kind of takes on the form of gossip. And, you know, God isn't into that. If He's showing you something and you need to pray for someone for something, you know, just pray. And then if He makes an opportunity for you to minister to that person and to share that revelation with them so that they know that God is wanting to help them or bless them in some way, you know, then that's an appropriate use of that. But if you just tell God, just let it all hang out every time you talk to somebody, and this revelation and that revelation and whatever, pretty soon, you know, you'll stop getting them because God can't trust you with what he tells you. So develop the art of being a wise person, and because of that, the devil will find it increasingly difficult to harm your prayer life and your ministry to other believers because you're walking in wisdom. Let's turn to the book of James, the third chapter, for just a moment, because James talks quite a lot about the tongue and how to control these kinds of situations. James chapter 3, first verse says, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly." So sometimes people take that to an extreme and say, I'm not getting up there, man. And that's not the point of this. It's a caution. Amen. You know that you need to take responsibility and that you need to be held accountable for the words that you speak. Indeed, we make many mistakes. Can anybody say amen? So whether you're in the pulpit or whether you're out of the pulpit, it's easy to make mistakes. Amen. For if, and then it says, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. So this is a huge secret, you know, because a lot of times people don't connect the dots. They don't connect what's happening to them or what's happened to them to the words that they've spoken. But there's power in your words. There's tremendous power in your words. And if you've been speaking negative things over your life and over the lives of others, it creates, whether you like it or don't like it, it's a principle, it's a rule, it's a law. And when you're speaking things over people, if they're not godly, positive word things, it creates results. So you have to choose how you use your words and how you use your tongue. But there it says, if you learn how to control your tongue, you can control everything that's going on in your life. Isn't that an amazing thing? So sometimes we think God is sovereign and God can do anything, and whatever will be with God will be, because, you know, maybe he's just not into this thing that's happening to me at the moment. But it might be that he's waiting for you to speak into your situation what you want to see, not what you are seeing. Because a lot of times, you know, what do we talk about? We talk about how bad it is and how much it hurts and what the problem is and so forth and so on, instead of speaking, this is God's provision for this situation, this circumstance. This is how God is working. And to speak God's word over that situation can positively and powerfully impact the situation and change it, even if it's another person. Now, I understand other people have their own will. And a lot of times we just say, well, you know, I'd like to see such and such and so somebody's life, but, you know, they have their own will. Well, don't just leave it there. Instead of saying that, just say, find scripture that applies to that person that would help bring them from that place to a new place of victory in life. And just determine you're not going to say anything about that person except for that. And just stick to it. Just keep sticking to it. And when you can't say that, just be quiet. I'm not saying anything else except this. And when they start pushing your buttons or somebody starts pushing your buttons, you have to zip the lip and say, no, I'm saying this. This is the way it is. It's not like that. It's like this. And I can't guarantee you that this will be overnight, but it will change the situation, because God's faithful to his word. He has a powerful word, and he's faithful to his word. So then it says, we can make large horses go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. So, now I'm not calling you horses, but God is just saying, put the bit in your mouth and control the horse, because you can control it. Now, sometimes we think, I just can't, because it's, you know, I was raised in a family that we lived this way. You know, we thrived on arguments and strife and confusion. I'm not talking about my family. I'm just saying sometimes people say this. Sometimes people say this, you know, we just, that's the way we were, and we just, you know, we all liked it. Well, you can like it or not like it, but it's not taking you to the right place. And if you did grow up in that kind of a family, you can be the agent of change, because you have your tongue and you can control your tongue. You can put the bit in your mouth. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then he talks about the ship that has a small rudder that turns it wherever the pilot wants to go. So the idea is that we think we don't have control over lots of circumstances and situations, when in reality we do, because we can set the rudder and we can set the bit. The guy that's riding the horse uses the reins to turn the horse. The guy that's running the ship, he turns the wheel to make the rudder change. And you know, with ships, when it's a big ship in a big ocean, a small rudder takes a while to turn the ship. You don't just turn it like you do, you know, you don't, like you make a U-turn in the parking lot here. Sometimes it takes a while for the ship to turn around, but the ship will turn. So you should take courage in that. If you didn't see it today, it's turning. If you didn't see it tomorrow, it's still turning. If you didn't see it the next week, it's still turning. The ship is turning because you're speaking the word and you're speaking the right words. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So then he said, you know, he talks about the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. Hopefully they're grander than otherwise. A tiny spark can make a great forest fire. And among all the parts in the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It's a world of wickedness or iniquity, corrupting your entire body. It can set the whole life on fire, for it's set on fire by hell itself. So what he's talking about is the tongue has tremendous potential for destruction. And he's warning you against it, but he's pointing out that this is the case if you don't put the bit in, or you don't pilot the rudder. Then he says, people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless and evil, full of deadly poison. So what he's talking about is if you depend on your human nature to take care of this, you're sunk. You're finished before you even start, because this is the course, and you can see this in our world. This is the course that the world goes. But the reality is, you're no longer in the world, but you're no longer of the world. So now you have tools at your disposal that the worldly people who cannot control their tongues don't have. So you can have success where they don't have. But here he's just pointing out, this is the downside to it. This is where you're going if you don't do this. Then he says, surely my brothers and sisters, verse 10, so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives, or a grapevine produce figs? No. You can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. So what he's saying is, fix what's inside of you so that what comes out of you is fresh and life, full of life and full of the presence of God, full of his power. Amen. So he's saying this is the way out of this situation. As a believer, we have this opportunity and this responsibility. Verse 13, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with humility that comes from wisdom. So when our words are formed from the wisdom of God that comes and is offered in humility, we've got to win. We've put the bit in the mouth. We're controlling the rudder that runs the ship. Amen? And we're on course with God. We're on target with God. It's an awesome thing. So this is the positive side of it. Just one more example, and then we're going to wrap up here. It's the story of Daniel. Remember when he went to God in chapter 10, Daniel chapter 10. It's really a great chapter to read. he went to God, he made some requests, and then an angel appeared to him. In verse 12, chapter 10, verse 12, I'm just kind of making this shorter, he said to me, "Don't fear, Daniel, for from the first day you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." So we see really a powerful principle there that when we take the course of action that James is suggesting here, put the bit in the mouth, and start heading down the road doing it God's way, that God answers by releasing spiritual power, spiritual force, and releasing answers immediately. Now, we know from the story of Daniel that those answers didn't come instantly. He didn't receive the answers instantly, but the answers were sent instantly. And the reason he didn't receive them instantly is because there was some opposition in between that had to be taken care of first. But because he persisted, like the woman who went before the unjust judge, he received the answer. But if he would have quit, you know, kind of in the middle of that and said, you know, "It looks like it's not happening, I'm not getting this answer, forget it, I'm going off my fast, I'm quitting God," he would have missed this, which came 21 days after his first words came to God. The Amplified Version says it like this: "I have come in response to your words." So if you want the angels fighting on your behalf, you have to put the word out there so that they got something to work with. Amen? They need to come in response to your words, not your brothers, not your sisters, not your pastors, not your mom, not your dad, not your friend, not your prayer partner. Your words need to be the ones that touch the heart of heaven and release this kind of power, this kind of answer to come to you. So the point is if God came today or sent an angel today for my words, what would he find? If the angels came on the basis of what I spoke today, what would he be saying or doing? So you can see why sometimes we don't see some answers come. Because if it doesn't happen right away, I mean, you know, we went through, it was McDonald's yesterday, just on the way to Detroit. We went through and we put in our order, and it looked like everything was fine on the screen. And we get up to the window, and the woman is totally confused. I mean, she was just like, she was confused about the order. And when we looked at what was in there, not everything was there. And she said, "Well, I don't know what happened." So we had to go around again to order the rest of it again. And we didn't get double charged. I mean, nothing, but it was just confusion. So sometimes in our prayer life, we go around and around and around. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And we place the order again. Let me get this right this time. But the mistake in these cases is not on God's end, I'm pretty sure. You know, he's pretty accurate, and he's accountable and so forth and so on. And I'm not saying God's like a McDonald's either. So praise the Lord. So, but what's the point? It's better to be quiet than to say things that do not line up with the Word of God. That's the point. But if God came for my words, what would he find? And if he found no words, what would he do then? So the point is we should be quiet so that we can reflect and come out with the right words, not just, "Okay, I'm not saying nothing." Never, ever, again. We probably couldn't keep that promise anyway, but anyway, it's a thought. So in Daniel, when he prayed, great resistance followed, but because of his words, help arrived, his prayer was answered. The woman with the unjust judge, she had great resistance, but because of her words, she was heard. So it's a principle. If you learn the principle, you can begin to grow in that principle and have really wonderful, powerful results. So it's the same for us today. Our prayers will be answered. Help will come from our words, the words that we speak. Sometimes people say, can I just think my prayers? Well, I suppose you can. You know, God is able to read your thoughts, but he says to speak. So I'd recommend not just thinking your prayers, I'd recommend speaking your prayers. Amen? Praise the Lord. If God came to you today, what words would he find? Let him find faith, the same kind of faith that that woman had, same kind of faith that Daniel had, and make your words faith-filled all the time. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. So I want to end with just like these three points. It said, the fool utters his whole mind, but a wise man keeps it in till afterwards. So be a wise person and hold it in till afterwards. Second point, blessing should overwhelm cursing in your everyday speech. In other words, as you make a habit of blessing people and blessing situations and circumstances, it's going to totally wipe out that other stuff that's in the human nature, that's the flesh kind of stuff that comes out, or the things from the world around. Your speech will change. You just have to start somewhere. You have to start today speaking and saying those things. And then the third thing is, our words should reflect God's wisdom and his ways, not just what we think or what we hope or whatever, but it should be filled with his wisdom. Ending again with James chapter 3, verse 13. If you are wise and you understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with humility that comes forth for wisdom. Okay, so for those of you who are listening on the podcast, we're taking a little break here and then we're going to come back. But in our break, you'll have a chance to discuss with the friends around you just in your area.
I forget how this goes, but yeah, there's different ways. But in addition to having fun in the markets, we had a lot of fun. Oh my gosh, what a fun trip. It is so much fun to share the gospel. Like, something I know that I have a call to the nations, because when I'm in the nations and especially speaking Spanish, I just have a blast. Like, something just comes alive in me. It's like I'm connected into what I'm supposed to be doing, and it's just really fun. So we laughed a lot on our team. I was so blessed by our team. We're getting to know each other, and we've traveled a couple times together now, and so it's just such a blessing to be with like-minded people who were all going after souls for the kingdom. And it's just, I won't tell you about some adventures. Yeah, we had some adventures. Here we are eating. This is one of our favorite places to eat, breakfast every day. But I think one of the things that I'm processing through, because God did so much and we saw so much life of Jesus in our just short week that we were in Lima. How do I put this into words? God's heart is for each person. Like, you know, what was our final number? 313 people. In that 313 people, there are one person at a time that somebody that in our teams and the teams that we trained and with the churches went out, somebody was connecting the Lord's heart to that heart and to reach. And so I think that's what's so exciting, that it's one at a time, like people being reached with the gospel. You know, I wrote some notes so I don't, because there's so much I could say, but you know, we get to share this message that brings salvation, that brings somebody from darkness to light, that brings somebody into transformation. And it's just like, there's nothing better. It's such a high. Like, it's, I just dedicate my life to it, because it's what all of us, you know, we're created to do in whatever, whatever the backdrop is, in that you're, in how you're doing that, or what you're using, the tools that you're using, we are created to speak. You know, today we're talking about words. What better words to speak than Jesus loves you? He's not mad at you. He died. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for you, and watch somebody get set free and transformed and delivered. And it's just,
yeah, give me more. Like, it's just awesome. And so, just to share one story, because there's so many, you know, encounters that I could tell you about. I was on a team with pastors one day, and is there somebody else with us? Was it just us? I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Well, so anyways, so you can fill in the blanks. We had a man with us when we went. So we're walking in like kind of market area, and there's lots of people on the streets and things. And we saw a woman pushing a baby stroller, and I just right away, I'm getting this more discernment of like who to talk to. And so it's fun because it's like there's so many people in the streets, and God's like just highlighted her. And she was a Christian woman. So it's like, okay. And so, but she was so excited telling us, she began to relate this whole story of how she got healed and how the power of God touched her. And she had this infection in her throat, like ear, nose, throat issue, and this infection in a service. The pastor called out different sicknesses and things, and she got totally healed. And so we listened to her story, and she was so excited that we were offering prayer. And so when we said, well, what do you have any needs, or, you know, how can we pray with you today? And she right away, like her face lit up. She was like, yes. And it wasn't anything for herself. It was, I have this friend. She said, I see her every day and we chat a little bit. But she's not a believer, and she said our children go to the same school, and so we wait together in the line to pick up our children from school at the you know, drop them off and pick them up every day. And she said she shared with me that she has a condition where her liver is basically failing. And I've wanted to, but share with her more in depth. She knows I'm a Christian, but I haven't been able to share more with her. And she said, every time I feel like I try to, I know the devil's stopping me and there's obstacles. And so she was like, why don't we go and see if she's there? And we were like, okay. And so we're following her through the street, and we get to where, you know, where this person lives. And she's like calling, Andrea, 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 and like trying to get her to come. It's like, we need a little pebbles for different, we're trying to get the attention of people. And so she took us right to her, and the woman came, she was there, and she opened the door, and she was just like stoic face, just like, you know, but she listened to us, and she listened to her friend, and the friend would like did all the work. We were like, wow, this is easy. We just met the right person. And she took us to where the need was to pray. And she's saying, I met these lovely people and they're willing to pray. And you know how God touched me and healed my, you know, healed this infection that I have. And he can do that for you and heal you of this liver condition that you have. And they'd like to pray for you. We let us in. And so she lets us in, and like half a smile. We're like, okay, we're getting somewhere. So she talks more, and she we had shared with her the tools, and there she got to see how we used it. And so this girl receives Jesus as Lord, and then we prayed for her. I think it was the other order. I think we prayed for her first, and she received Jesus as Lord, and it was just really awesome. It was just really cool. And so now this woman is going to be discipling her, because, you know, they're friends. This was this is our other teammate, Martha, who's a full-time missionary in Texas with the Time to Revive Texas team. And we had some difficulties with our showers and toilets and different things. And so this lady, Roxana, works at the building where some of us were staying. So Martha started asking her, could we have somebody from maintenance come and fix our shower thing? We couldn't open the shower to get water out. And so she began sharing with her, and then I joined Martha, and we shared the gospel with her, and she asked for prayer for her children, and she made Jesus Lord. And so just everywhere, and that was on our way to breakfast. That wasn't like, okay, now we're going to have an outing and go out. That was just, there's people everywhere. And yeah, so this is during a service. There's just so much. These policemen were out on the street, and the service was kind of out in the street, and so there were people from the house there, and they kind of welcomed them in. They said, sure, we'll come in for prayer. So they came in the middle of the service, and we prayed for them, and then they left. So that was a blessing. There's so many stories.
Cubans were a little freaked out about the police.
Right.
And normally when police come into a Cuban service, it's not for good.
Yeah. But I'll let somebody else from the team share some other stories, because there's many. Oh, there's Bob. He's another one of our team members. Also, Time to Revive missionary, and he lives in Muncie. He got the pleasure of riding in the back seat, the back seat, and he had fun doing it. So, and yeah, that was Pastor Alfredo's son, the boy on the. It was a little dark.
Udiel, I think was his name.
Adiel. Yeah, Adiel. And it was so fun to watch him in the streets. He learned how to share the gospel with somebody. And before you knew it, he was preaching to kids that were coming out of school. And he had like a crowd around him, right? I think Ellie was with him that time.
Yeah, he was part. Is this on? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, he was 13 years old. And I kind of took him under my wing on every time we went out. I was thinking of my son, Tommy. So. He went out with us, and at first he was a little shy, but, you know, I kept pushing him, and before you know it, he was talking to four or five kids at the time, because we went out to the park where all the kids were coming out of school, and so he got to bring 15 kids to the Lord that day. But before I start, I just want to thank each and every one of you that prayed for us, because I'm telling you, we felt the prayers. They were effective. You know, the word says that the prayer of the righteous availeth much. And we felt you guys' prayers being, you know, back here at home. So we thank you for that. And those of you that financially helped, it was amazing. I mean, like Sarah, I'm still trying to process everything that we went through. It was an amazing trip. God really, really did, like, more than I could ever dare imagine. This was a really well-rounded trip, because we ministered like where we were staying. There was all the tourism, so we got to minister there to those people there, the vendors, and then we got to minister into like a middle kind of a neighborhood, and then the last ones, you know, onto the slums, like where this lady was here. I mean, she was literally underneath, and it was a rough terrain. I mean, the cars were coming at us. As you can see, it's a very, very poor area. And it was heartbreaking. It really was, to see the people. And here the Holy Spirit visited us. Did you see that? We had that coming, and I was telling one of the ladies, that's the Holy Spirit saying he's with us and he is for us. And he goes before us, because it was a little scary in that neighborhood there. It was very, you can feel the demonic oppression there. And when we were praying up on the roof of the pastor's where he's staying, I can sense that there was a lot of demonic oppression there. And as we went forward to the neighborhood, Pastor Harley and Pastor Karen were on the roof up there praying for us, and I can feel their presence and feel that God was with us the whole entire time we were there. Here we ministered to these kids at first, and as I was praying for the lady that you see in the previous picture, let's see if we can get to the picture with the lady and the baby right here. As I came to her, she was actually just breastfeeding in the middle of the street there. But as I approached her, I prayed over her, and the Lord spoke to me and said that this baby had an infection in his stomach. Then I asked the mother, is the baby okay? And she said he was having high fevers. And so I laid my hand on his stomach, and I started praying for the baby. And as I was praying, me and Sister Rivka, we were praying for him. The Lord was downloading that the baby, it was the milk that the mother was feeding him. Whatever she was eating was affecting the baby's stomach. So we both of us shared that with her. And we were telling her to be careful what she's eating, because that was affecting the baby. So we prayed for her, and we prayed for the other lady, young lady over here, and we prayed for her. We prayed for generational curses to be broken off of her family, because I can see that there was a lot of soul wounds in that young girl's heart. And these little kids followed us all through the neighborhood, and they were taking us to these little places. I know this lady's over here, and they would run us up the little stairs. And so they were like, all three of them were watching me pray for the two ladies, and as I put my hand on their forehead, the three little kids, while Martha was ministering to the other lady, they would come up to me and grab my hand and put it on their foreheads, like, pray for me, me next. So they were getting prayed for as well, these little three kids. They were like our helpers, taking us to these little homes, to praying for the people, and everyone welcomed us to their home, and they were just so hungry for God, and they were so thankful that God has sent us there as a team. And the tools that we use, the wristbands and the cards, are so effective. They're so simple and they're so effective. So we thank you for your financial support, getting the materials to them, because that's really important. That's what really makes our entry point, how they open up our doors and they see the bracelet, they get excited. What is that all about? And we are able to share the gospel with them. This lady here, we were in the market. As you can see, she was so heartbroken. I started ministering to her, and I asked her if she wanted prayer. She said no. And the Lord kept nudging me and said, you know, be more persistent. So I kept talking to her, and I said, well, let me just pray for God to help you with your business, to bring more, you know, more customers. And so she was open to that. But as I start praying for her, the Lord started revealing some of the things that she was going through emotionally and spiritually. And I was speaking it out and praying over her. And she started weeping because she knew that the Lord was hearing her cry. And she had a lot of contention with the other vendors there, really don't like her, and they don't embrace her. So I start praying and ministering to her as the Lord was downloading, and she started weeping, and she was really, really hurt. And as you can see, she is just literally crying on her chest, because we were just ministering to her and telling her that God loves her and God cares about every little thing that she needs. And that we start praying for that little, it was just a little area of little market, and me and Bob, and we start praying for the other little areas, and just start telling the enemy, you cannot come in here. You know, we bind you from coming into this little marketplace. And we just release blessings over her and over her ministry there. We really told her that she was going to be the light in there, and is going to start ministering to the other vendors there, and she was going to shine the light of Jesus. And she was so thankful. And I mean, the picture tells it all, that people are hurting out there, and we need to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We need to bring that gospel to the streets and tell them how much Jesus really loves them and how he cares for them, you know. And then this is a really, really great encounter here. The gentleman over here, one of the teams found him in the park, and he was drunk and in drugs and all kinds of sort of things. Here's Pastor Harley praying for him, because the pastors brought him to the church, the home church, and he got a shower and he got fed. And that morning, pastor prayed deliverance over him. We prayed for him, and he got delivered from the spirit of, you know, being drunk and all those things that he was dealing with. Then he asked, actually was really pleading with, you know, the pastors, that please come and pray for my family. He said that his wife was demonized. And so we prayed, and Pastor Harley says, yes, we will come to your family. And, you know, the team fasted all that day. We were prepared. We know we were going in there with some difficult deliverance. And as you can see, his wife is the lady in the middle with the white shirt. And then he had three daughters and a son. And the mom was there as well. So they welcomed us in their homes. And we kind of already knew what we were up against, because the Lord has showed us that this was going to be a tough deliverance. And so we were all prepared and prayed. And we all went there, ministered to all the grandma, and she was welcoming us. She was a previous, you know, in the Word. They were all Christians, but they have, you know, so they had some difficulties there. And we ministered to all of them, and the mom, the wife, she was very heavily demonized. And I'm not going to go in details, because there's a lot of children here, but it was something I've never seen before. But God did what he needed to do there, and the family was set free and delivered from all these demonic entities, and they are walking free today. Thanks be to God. That was a huge breakthrough for us, for God, and for our team to be there, and to be there for that family. And We were sent there to tell people about how much Jesus loves them and how he's there for them. But this family, I mean, it's been on my mind all week long praying for them as they've been set free and they continue to walk with the Lord, because they're going to be a huge impact in their neighborhood and in the whole city of Peru and in Lima, Peru. It was a great deliverance. So thank you.
I got a text from them. I think it was yesterday, saying that now this family, their extended family members, are coming for ministry to them because they've seen the change in this gentleman here and the wife. The wife had been into witchcraft, and that was the kind of the source of all of her demonic stuff that was going on in her life. But she got set free totally. Rivka and Ali and others were really praying over her, and maybe, I don't know if they had ever seen some cases like that, but it wasn't scary, but it could have been frightening, but it wasn't scary because we know we have the power of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. And Sarah was ministering to the younger children because they didn't know this is their mom and all this stuff is going on. So she was comforting them and telling them what was going on and so forth and so on. But they saw that she got set free. And so it's an amazing story.
One of the things that we always said, that demons do flee at the name of Jesus. I saw it. And they do. And when we stand in authority of who we are in Christ, the devil has nothing on us. And amen. I saw it. And it was powerful. And we just give God all the glory for that. So
amen.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, well, being a pastor's wife, one of the things I saw, I mean, the teams were wonderful, just amazing. But what touched my heart so much was the pastors and their wives. There are three Cuban pastors with their wives and families, and, well, four, actually, three under Pastor Emilio, and one who is in the same denomination that the Pastor Sosa from Havana is in. They came to Lima, Peru, giving up everything in Cuba. And, you know, you could say, well, what's in Cuba to give up? Well, they have families, they have friends, they're the big church that they went to. They gave it all up, the homes they lived in, they gave it all up to move to Lima, because that's the call they had on their heart. They have a heart for the Peruvian people and for the Venezuelan refugees. And so I just so appreciated the love that these men and women had for the people around them. If they hadn't desired to minister to people in their new country, we would never have been able to go and help them. It was their desire that caused us to come. They asked Pastor, after Pastor Arniel saw what was happening in Cuba, saw the salvations in Cuba, he really wanted to take it to Lima, Peru, where his men were working. He's over them. It was Pastor Alfredo and Pastor Michelle are under Pastor Arniel. And he knew that they would benefit from reaching out to save other people. And so they actually started their churches after the week we were there ministering to these people. They each started churches with the new baby Christians. And they were so excited. And we were so grateful that we could be a part of these new church families. But they love the Lord with all their heart. They were willing to lay down their desires, their lives for Jesus. And it showed every second of every day. I never saw any of them sleep. I don't know that they slept the entire time we were there, because Ellie said, you know, they took in this man who was homeless. They took him into their own home, helping him be set free from addictions. They took in a Venezuelan refugee and spent all night till 3 a.m. finding a quarters for he and his family to live in. That was quite small, but at least they had a roof over their head. They do this continually. They serve. They look out for, they pastor others. And so for me, that was one of the things that I came back with. I'm just so blessed that they love the heart of God and reach out to others with that same heart. So for me, that was a great blessing.
One thing that I know that from this trip is that you really do not have to. It will be great if you know how to speak Spanish, but if you don't, God still can use you. And one gentleman that it was the last day, I just so happened to sit beside him, and I start to give him the Spanish card, and I just say that, I don't read Spanish. You have to read it. So when he read the Spanish, I follow him. So he actually teaching me Spanish. But I kind of like trying to pronounce as accurate as I can. But I don't understand what I'm pronouncing. So I just said, I need an English card. So I end up pull myself an English card, and he has a Spanish card. And I have him read, I follow. And of course, I know because we've been encounter a lot of Spanish. So I kind of know that picado and muerte. So I kind of like say, point it out to him. And he trying to explain it to me what it's about. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So in a way, he read the words, God's words. So. And God is wonderful. He know our hearts. He know we are hands and feet. And guess what? By the time I finished reading the cards and I've been following it, I know some words that in Spanish kind of like similar to English. It's called confession. Yes. Yeah, so I just say confession. So I kind of like keep repeating that word. And so happened, Martha came by. And I was able to just tap on her and say, he need confession. So they run with it, and he got saved. So I definitely encourage anyone that, you know, if your Spanish is not that great, go for it. The Holy Spirit is there. Don't worry about it. I've been running around with the team, and most of the time they do the interpretation, and I just there at the side praying and in tongue and listen to God, what God's want me to say to them. That's chickens. That's how they sell the chickens. Okay. I just have so much fun. And this picture, I want to mention something. What about this picture? And God told me about, this is the very first day at the airport. It was a juggler, a kid from France was juggling the ball. And of course, they have all the red, yellow, green, and blue colors ball. So that kind of draw my attention. And what here teach me is that how you juggle, right? And this guy, young kids, I don't know how to pronounce his name. The way he taught me about juggling is that when you juggle, you have just release the ball and just prepare to catch it. So all right, I kind of like thinking, okay, we have to just release it and not really knowing where it go. The first few times I try, the ball was flying all over the direction, okay? And if you throw it too closely, not to, you were hoping not to go and fly other direction, try to throw it soft, you will not receive it because it's not high enough, the projection is not high enough. There's something here that God teaching me. So I just hopefully that kind of like helping, learning how the faith work from here. So if you throw too far, it will go all over the place. If you throw too close, trying to be safe, you know, not to take too big of a leap, you won't get receive it because it just fall. Too far, you put yourself way too far, like money's falling down from the sky. That's way too far off the Bible's what God teaches, not line up with God. So you it fall too. So what's the thing is here is that when you throw it, there is a rhythm, right? When juggling, you have a rhythm. And you really want to be have the ball when you throw it, is line up right here. When it drop, even though you don't catch it, it should drop and line up right here. So it tell me that when we put our faith up, we want to throw it, right? Trusting God in His will, His rhythm. Even though you don't catch it this time, it's going to fall up, fall on the floor, more like a straight line. So, and the more you practice, the more you throw it, and just really, you're not going to catch it, like go forward to catch it. You stand where you are, where your position is, and your hand just like that, throw it, and it's automatically by faith, in my case, you will receive it. If you don't receive it this time, it will fall right on that straight line, which is the will of God. So I was like, yes. So praise the God. So this is go out about and praying for people. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Praise the Lord. So anyway, we had Bob Ewart and Martha with us as well as the rest of this team. And it's a really, really, really great time. So thanks again for your support, for your prayers. And we're going to Cuba again in July. So we're expecting God to do many more things.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House Podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.